This is a CKTZ News update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. On Monday, October 10th, Cortez Island saw very intense winds that caused several fires and electrical lines down. I checked in with the fire chief, Dave Ives, to find out exactly what happened. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
So you had your hands full on Monday.
Yeah, for the Sleepy Island of Cortez and our volunteer fire department, it became quite a busy evening for us on the 10th. Throughout the day, throughout the windstorm, I'm sure many of your listeners are aware that we had intermittent outages. BC Hydro was already on island addressing as many of those as they could. When around 17:45 or 5:45 p.m. in the afternoon or evening, the fire department became aware of a down power line and small wildfire in the 900 Mary Point Road area of the island, which created a unique challenge for Cortez Island Volunteer Fire Department because the Mary Point and Tiber Bay Road areas are not, in fact, part of the fire protection district serviced by Cortez Volunteer Fire. So it took a little bit of finagling and a little bit of searching to find the location and be able to get on scene. I was on scene first in our command unit, more as a good neighbor, good citizen, stop in to see how things were going. And there were two very large trees down on their primary lines, 14,400 volt lines, and a smoldering fire below the trees, which had been knocked down by local landowners who were still working on overhauling the smoldering fire, which I have to say is a very dangerous proposition and something that we spoke on great length with the landowners there. A very important thing for everybody on Cortez to understand and realize is the power lines, particularly the high voltage transmission lines on Cortez, can be, and in fact it's BC Hydro's policy, to automatically reset them without checking for the cause if they haven't heard of a cause within a half hour. That means somebody in Vancouver is going to press a button and re-energize all those lines and see if they hold. Because a line is down, because you watched it go from sparking to being out, doesn't mean it's going to stay out. In fact, it's BC Hydro policy. They're going to try to reset that line every half hour to see if the area is clear. 14,400 volts is not only enough to electrocute somebody, it's enough voltage to cook somebody and quite normally blow off detached limbs. So this is no laughing matter. It's a significant safety issue that I think is underestimated by Cortesians all too often. Having said that, the fire was contained from the fast actions of the local members of the community who then fell back and waited with me. I monitored the area. Well, we discussed gaining permission and access to the fire using the influence of the fire department in areas that we did have in our call area. Through our dispatch and then BC Hydro's dispatch, managed to push this particular incident up to a priority issue for BC Hydro to come and lock out the line and ground the line so that it was safe to work around. And at the same time, through careful coordination and discussion with BC Wildfire Services Coastal Division, Cortez Volunteer Fire was given the opportunity to and the permission to action the fire on behalf of the province. Shortly after the power was disconnected and the area deemed safe, Cortez Volunteer Fire Department, 8 members and 2 apparatus, actioned the fire, overhauled it completely, cold trailed it completely, and then provided reassurances to the locals that there was no further risk to the island or the area. No sooner did we get back into our jammies, or in my wife's case, finally cutting into our first piece of turkey dinner, the tones went out again, this time for a second, a power lines down, and what was described as a much larger running fire on the Tiber Bay Road area, which was, again, not in our fire protection. Given the caller's firsthand account that the fire was large and growing, I made the decision to respond to the scene and to put our units on standby at the edge of our call area until I could assess it. Well, we notified BC Wildfire and get permission. Along the way, our whole parade of fire apparatus were stopped on Seaford Road by BC Hydro due to another downed line and a fire blocking our path and making it hard for us to attend this second call, the Tiber Bay Road call. We waited patiently and the BC Hydro crew worked quickly and efficiently to lock off ground out the fire, the lines at the on the Seaford, where we then split our units. Some of our units stayed behind to action the small fire there. The balance of the units proceeded to Tiber Bay Road, which luckily was a fire that was small enough in nature that it had extinguished itself by the time we got there. Had the conditions been different, if it had been drier or windier or the opposite wind, could be a different story. There was a lot of line down on Tiber Bay Road. So as a public safety service, I stayed on scene with our command unit blocking off access until BC Hydro could make it to that call. Sometime at this point would have been probably around 10 o'clock at night. This when the whole island went dark. Given the frequency and the number of down lines and the fires that the lines were creating and the safety issues the down lines were creating for members of the public as well as for firefighters looking to action these fires, BC Hydro made the decision to disconnect power to the island completely so that the situation could be assessed. Better late than ever, but at that point, all the fires were taken care of and we had no more issues for the rest of the night, which may be a result of the actions that we had taken earlier, or it may be a result of the decision by BC Hydro to de-energize the lines, thus creating less sparking, less fires, until the winds died down. So I think it was a good night for the power to be out.
So it sounds like no one was hurt?
No injuries to anybody on island or in the fire department at all.
And was there any private property or public property aside from the lines that was damaged?
No property damage, just very small wildfires, and then, of course, the damage to the lines themselves.
And a couple of trees.
The first call in particular, where those trees were huge. Those were not trees that were going to be bucked up by anybody here. BC Hydro had to bring in a professional arborist logging team on the first ferry in the morning to clear those trees. So they were that big. And I'm sure some mill is very happy to have them.
Were those blocking the roads, that those large trees?
There was one more driveway that was blocking down to one house. So one individual was trapped on his property until the next day.
Okay. And you were speaking to the protocol that BC Hydro has around when they shut off the power and a 30-minute wait before, if no one has reported a power outage, they try to turn it back on. Is that right?
Even if it's reported, and I confirm this with the hydro crew, unless there is a obvious cause reported for the failure, it's BC Hydro's position to reset. So I can't stress this enough. Plan on that line becoming live again. You shouldn't be anywhere near that line. In an emergency, in your vehicle, not getting out situation, the closest you should ever be without very seriously taking your life in your hands is as far away as a pole is tall. That's the hot zone. Anything closer to that is the no-go zone for anybody, including the fire department. In real practice, the whole span between a set of power poles is how far back we would be staging our equipment and as far back as the public should stay from it. It's not a joking matter. I know we're all afraid of wildfires. I know we've all seen what they can do. I know that it's drier this time of year than it normally would be, but we have to keep in mind that having a wildfire and a pile of dead bodies is not somehow better than just having a wildfire. In fact, it would detract the fire department quite a bit from fighting a wildfire if we had injured or dead people on our scene.
So just to clarify what the best protocol is, aside from keeping your distance, how, if there was a call at 1745 notifying the fire department about the fire, would that notification even go to BC Hydro, that they would then know that there's actually a damaged line that would create a volatile situation if they turned the power back on?
I don't know where the disconnect, pardon the pun, came from or didn't come from. My understanding is that the caller had originally called 911 and was advised that they are outside of the fire district, and they were advised to contact BC Hydro directly. It's my understanding from the caller that he did not. So it's my understanding from BC Hydro on scene that they were not aware of this, and that for sure the line could have been re-energized at any time. So there is an interesting happenstance in the Tiber Bay area where it's not protected by the Cortez Fire Department, and therefore, this type of call out is not really practiced or administered by anybody. But the way it should work is if you see a down line, call it into Hydro right away with the cause if you know it, and don't approach it. If you see a down line with sparks or fire, call 911. 911 should notify Hydro, regardless of whose call area it's in, and then notify the appropriate fire department, whether that BC Wildfire or Cortez Fire. In either case, do not approach the line, even if it's on fire, even if you believe that it could create a forest fire, even if you believe that forest fire could destroy property. As much as we love our environment and we love our property and we love our homes, those are replaceable where lives aren't. And there's a lot that can be done, a pole span, a wire span away from the fire. If we're notified early, we'll be there, we'll set up, and we'll fight the fire where it's safe to do, which would be that span away from the down line.
So just speaking to the jurisdiction, I think you just covered it there, but if something is not within the realm of the volunteer fire department and within your jurisdiction, does that mean then by default it's part of the BC wildfire jurisdiction?
That's correct. Anything that we don't cover, and a lot of what we do cover, in which case would be a mutual aid agreement, but anything that is not covered by your municipal fire service, either because of accessibility or in the case of Tiber Bay, where many moons ago they elected to not be part of the fire protection area, is covered by the province. And that doesn't mean you're going to get a 911 lights and sirens response, but it is the province's responsibility. And in this case, what we needed to do with the province is the province needed to be made aware, they needed an update, and then they gave us what's called a task number, which is basically a permission slip, and then we went and addressed the fire on behalf of the province. The big thing is, as much as we need to be aware of and continually vigilant of potential wildfires, the risk to your life and limb is of working around a down power line is far outweighs the risk of the wildfire and the damage that wildfire might. That's terribly underestimated in many jurisdictions, and more so, frankly, in Cortez than I'm accustomed to.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.